What is happening? Welcome to another episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock, and today I thought about doing free agent pitchers, you know, because we're about to have the winter meetings, and I thought, okay, who is going to be at the winter meetings? Who would be on the pulse of this the most? And I couldn't get Lance Berzowski, so I got Enoceris.
Oh, thanks.
just kidding. Eno, great to see you, man.
Thanks for having me on.
So as you guys heard, we're going to talk about free agents, starting pitchers, the small contracts, the medium contracts, and the large. And before we even jump into the ones who are still available, I figured we should talk just a little bit about Dylan Cease for a second, and then also Kyle Weiss and Cody Ponce, who are both signed from overseas, coming back to the majors, and just any quick thoughts you have on them, because I don't know too much about those two guys. But first, it's going to be Dylan Cease going to the Jays, $210 million for 7 years. How do you feel about this signing, Eno?
I think it's great. I mean, I think that the comp here is not that he's a $200 million pitcher and we should be comparing him to Max Scherzer or any of these things. We talk about present value in terms of this year's money, because there's a lot of deferrals in it. The comp is Blake Snell.
Oh,
it's the Blake Snell deal.
Oh man.
And that's been Derek Van Riper's favorite comp over at Rates and Barrels, has been, you know, Dylan Cease to Blake Snell, as in, you know, smaller arsenal, really good stuff, not great command, oscillating years, you know, like Cy Young worthy years and forgettable years. Mm-hmm. And the big difference between Cease and Snell is innings. Cease is top 10 in innings over the last 3 years.
Absolutely.
And when I looked at the best deals and the worst deals that were $150 million plus, innings was really important, as I mentioned on the last craft. So, I think, you know, it could still be a bust. What I hate about this is I'm arguing with a lot of people who are calling or saying it's going to be a bust, and that's actually the easy position, I think, to take on.
Oh, sure, absolutely,
like a 7 year deal on a starting pitcher, like
right.
You know, of the 15 deals that I looked at, it was something like 6 or 7 were good ones.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, so you're talking about like a 40% chance, 35% or so.
But, you know, Travis Shachik has a new article out about how if you look at, you know, yearly classes of free agents, we've actually gotten better at evaluating pitchers and giving the pitchers the big deals. And I would assume that has something to do with, you know, knowing which things are predictive, so in regular analytics, but also some of the stuff, you know, angle, and maybe knowing about the aging curve of certain pitches and things like that. So we've gotten better at it. Somebody was like, oh, well, I remember when the Giants signed Jeff Samardzija and Johnny Cueto based on their predictive analytics, and I was like, no, Jeff Samardzija actually had poor K-minus BB, he had a below average FIP.
Right. It was innings.
And Johnny Cueto was the FIP beater until the magic ran out. Right. You know, so I was like, those are particularly bad examples, actually.
Yeah, those are old school, just like, hey, he gets me innings, you know, he's a fighter kind of discussion, especially with, I think, Cueto in that way. While Samardzija's just like, well, he's had strikeout games or seasons in the past. Hopefully that you claim that.
Yeah, I think they were calling back to his platform year wasn't his best year. There were better years before.
It was that kind of thing. But with Cease, I mean, there are two quick thoughts. Is one, generally when you see long-term deals, I thought this is going to be something that maybe Sachik would bring up, and I didn't really realize he went on the free agent class side, but that a lot of these deals are, it's about you pay for the years in their production early. That is, you are trying to, if you're the Jays, you're trying to get some sort of window right now. You just made to the World Series.
Right.
And how much one do you care about winning it?
Five, six,
and you're going to overpay.
Maybe he's a reliever for you by then or whatever, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah. And yeah, could have been the closer instead in that situation. And it doesn't look good at the back end of it. Cease does not have an arsenal that speaks to aging well when you're four seamer slider, as opposed to someone like Max Fried, who I think is going to be better with lower velocity and have more options and command, etc. Cease, it's like, okay, how long can you make those two pitches last at that level, right? And even when they are with high velocity, we just saw a bad season this year, 2 years ago as well. It does bring a lot of scrutiny to the end of it. However, if you get three really good years from Dylan Cease, it's going to be quote unquote worth it, right? And it's not always about the amount of war they put up over 7 years. I would actually be really curious about the first half versus back half of contracts and seeing which were the best long-term ones based on the first half of it, right?
Yeah.
Because that's really what they're paying for.
Yeah. Yeah. The best deals, just in, to recap, with the Max Scherzer deal. What was the other one?
I mean, Wheeler's deal has been great.
He didn't go on my list because it wasn't $150 million.
Right. It
wasn't. It was like $100 million. It was like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a really good deal.
Mets.
That was a really good deal.
Come on.
But you know, yeah. Here's a comp I want to throw at you that please has been thrown at me. I don't know that I agree with it, but Chris Archer.
Oh. I mean, sure, four seamer slider, right?
Right.
I would say that Chris Archer's four seamer not as good as Cease's. That's like the biggest separator of it, but yeah, it is the mold, right? And also, Chris Archer did not showcase the longevity inside of seasons as Cease has, right?
So I would argue that the sort of zero aptitude of adding other pitchers, I don't think it's a zero for Cease.
Right, but imagine the contract he would have gotten if he had a cutter working. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean,
three times and gave up. Come on, you're gonna have to do it at some point. You're gonna be there till you're 37.
There is something there. Yeah. So in September and August, I just want to throw this out here. In September and August, he was throwing other pitches 25% of the time. So, you know, I don't know where the line is, where you're a two pitcher or not. You know, Christian Javier would push it sometimes to 25%, and you'd still maybe consider him a two pitch guy. So I get it, but. You know, the knuckle curve has been with him forever. It doesn't grade that well by Stuff Plus, but like that has been a third pitch that he's thrown forever.
Yeah.
We'll see
how he develops.
The other thing is there is something weird there where like, so there's this clip going around and I even linked to it in my piece about Cease today, where he says, I'm trying to throw the Kevin Gausman splitter. And I looked closely at the, and it's like a pitching ninja thing. And everyone's like, oh, well, now he's with Kevin Gausman. Boom, bang, bing. And then I look closely at the date on the pitching ninja.
Oh, no. Is it last year?
Yes. So when he was throwing the 69 mile an hour changeup, that was Kevin Gausman's splitter. And so and then when I talked to him, he was like, oh, you know, I'm just effing around with it. I aim for front of the plate, like to bounce it. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay, so you're not being serious about this pitch, really. And like, it must be obvious that Kevin, you can't like look at that and be like, oh, he's just lobbing it in there. Like, Kevin Gausman doesn't throw his splitter 69 miles an hour. So, dude, you're doing something wrong. I mean, you might have the same grip, but you're not throwing Kevin Gausman's splitter if it's 69 miles an hour. So there's something about his sort of tepid approach to, you know, these additional pitches that is weird. And maybe there is zero aptitude there, or maybe he's just had enough success that he thinks, you know, he did say things a little bit like Strider, where he's like, why should I throw this other pitch that's not as good?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember that from DeGrom. Same kind of idea, four-seamer slider, right?
Yeah.
And change-up curve, but those pitches graded out plus-plus, but they just weren't as good as those other two. I consider also like the whole, I'm going to throw this guy's slider or this guy's splitter or whatever, kind of like shopping for clothing online where you see the model and you're like, I'm going to get that thing.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it actually does work out. You know, I get it. But then you get into the
mail. A lot of times your body doesn't look the same as that model's dude.
It's also a target. You said it'd be like this, and then it's like super shrunk in. The colors are faded. You know, it's the same kind of deal. And I think we actually looked at together the pitch type chart from, I think it was Jeff Zimmerman was following it. Maybe it was DVR doing it, Jason Collette. I can't remember, but just going over the new pitches in the spring and looking over it, and maybe there were like two of that actually made a significant difference to their future season, right? And it's so rare to see it. I cannot express enough. You cannot lean into it. You can't bank on it. But yes, at some point, Dylan Cease will have to change. We'll have to become something new. I'm not too convinced it's a sweeper or knuckle curve being that thing. I think it might be a sinker. I think it might be a cutter. I see it as you need another strike pitch. You don't need another out pitch. You need another strike pitch. You have two out pitches already. So that's kind of where my head is at with it. Even if it's just a fine changeup that you can throw for strikes, that is honestly good enough for me.
Right. If he just even threw that splitter, if it was a straight splitter and wasn't exciting, but you know, he was able to throw it in the zone.
Right.
You know, somebody else pointed out that one of the things they did with Kevin Gausman in Toronto was just to throw the low fastball more often because people were kind of pigeonholing him with like, I'm gonna throw the high fastball and then you know, throw the splitter underneath that. So then he threw the low fastball. So it's kind of hard to sit on, you know, just trying to hit the high stuff. So, you know, they thought that Cease could do something like that. I have talked to Cease about that and he's like, yeah, I do that. You know, and I believe that he does that to some extent. The other thing was just to be more aggressive early in counts in the zone, and to try and get out of walks to, you know, to give up homers with nobody on base, basically. Just to get the, you know, throw good stuff down the middle kind of idea. Mm-hmm. So they could simplify his target some. And then there's just, you know, there's some numbers that'll just, that should just regress. I mean, for his, people say, oh, he's underperformed his FIP. Okay. Yeah, sure. But like Sierra, his career Sierra is 383. His career ERA is 388. I prefer to think of him as basically like a 3.7 true talent guy with a 30% strikeout rate that can throw you a Cy Young season.
Right. Yeah. Like it's just about the extremes of it, where how many of those big blow up games are there going to be, you know? And it's actually very interesting to me when you think about ERA. I know the game that we play, like, oh, if you just remove the bad X, Y, and Z, then he's a this. Like, okay. And then also you realize that sometimes the number of those are between 5 and 9 games or so. And that is a huge difference in ERA.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's, it's kind of wild how much variance there is by just a few games and that's it. So I really do believe that, like, what you're saying is generally going to be like a 3.7 or something like that. It can go either way, which is why we've seen the back and forth. And anyone that followed Cease a lot this year will know that there were games where he was just like 3 innings, bam, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world.
Oh my God.
So and then all of a sudden something just went wrong in the fourth or the fifth.
I think that, you know, one thing though is that the people have, there's a lot of recency bias. So they think that is who Dylan Cease is. But I looked at his career third time through the order, 700 OPS against the 600 first time through.
Right.
So it developed last year. Now, is it a developing thing that will be a problem the rest of his life? Mm-hmm. Is this like he got figured out? Or, you know, could he just throw a couple more sinkers, a couple more low fastballs, walk a few fewer guys, change his pitch mix in the third time through? Is there something there where, you know, he can gather some steam? He definitely doesn't lack confidence. So I know that he looks like he's falling apart on the mound, but that's not the impression I get from talking to him.
Well, I'm going to move on from Cease because that was supposed to be a quick thought. And I just
well, it does. Doesn't that segue into the idea of like which of the top four guys would you have given the bag to?
I, you know, it's interesting. I thought for a moment that I was the host here, Eno. Unbelievable. Even stealing my segue. I can think about it last year, like Max Fried and Corbin Burns were the two who were like, oh, who's going to get what, right? And Fried got a similar deal, if I remember correctly, that Cease just got with the Yankees. I mean, the way I've been talking about it.
I'd like the Burns deal.
You liked it or you did or you don't?
I liked it because I thought.
I think actually both of those deals are a tier above this one with Cease. It's just I think the security of the long term to me feels better. Tommy John, whatever.
Yeah.
I just think that that's how that is. But then you look at the other guys on the board right now. I mean, is Framber Valdez going to get something somewhat similar to this now? Or is it that just a completely different tier here?
Well, the Fangraphs crowdsource is very different than what we've gotten from Jim Bowden and Tim Britton on The Athletic, which is that they're saying 7-200, 7-210. So basically very similar to the Cease deal.
Mm-hmm.
But the Fangraphs crowdsource is saying 5-150 for Framber. Now, if you gave me 5-150 for Framber, I might take him over all of these guys. Just because that's a nice short 5-year deal. He's a lefty. There's a lot of things to like about his stuff. You don't have to worry. 5-150, I don't think you have to worry as much about leadership issues and stuff like that and makeup or whatever. It's 5 years. If you lose one and the back end is bad, like, do you still get 3 years? It's not going to, sit around forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't think that's what it's going to be. If Dylan Cease is getting 7-210, I think Framber's getting the same deal. I know that there's different indicators in different directions. Framber's 2 years older, but they're projected for a similar amount of wins by Steamer next year. Framber has, I think, been more consistently excellent year to year than Dylan.
Mm-hmm. It's a different profile, right? Yeah. And the thing is, if I'm a team that's going to chase Framber, I have to ensure that I have a good infield defense.
Mm-hmm.
That is, I put out a tweet maybe a week or two ago just showcasing outs above average on a team where I think the Angels were like negative 57 and then the Cardinals and Cubs were plus 35 or so. I know. But then that makes sense when you think about all those pitchers, like, oh yeah, right. Like there's just no, no one's really having that extreme season. Now I do understand too that outs above average, how what that really translates to seems very minimal inside of an individualized start. And yet, even one out difference can change an entire game. So it can mean two out rallies. It can mean getting out of an inning and not extending yourself another 5-10 pitches, going that extra frame ultimately, etc. It really makes such a big difference when you have a good defense behind you. Just morale, it just does wonders. If you're going after Framber, it has to be with that. And I think I would agree with you that I'd rather. Short term, it just seems safer with Valdez, even though it's just live and die by the curveball with Framber Valdez at this point. Like that's what it was.
What happens
2024 first half of 2025? Both of those guys were amazing. Both of those halves were amazing with Framber Valdez's curveball. Then the other halves, those respective seasons were gone. And
because he doesn't have
more faith
great
in
command.
Valdez than that curveball than Cease.
He doesn't have great command, so he's not gonna end up like Ranger Suarez when he's down at 90. Like it's gonna look bad when he's at 90, probably miles per hour for Framber. So like I get that. Well, it's interesting that you bring up infield. I'm looking at infield run defense right now. There's not a really good mix for him at the top. Royals are not signing him, I don't think. No. The Pirates, they were first.
They were in. Oh my gosh, let's applaud them. By the way, they were in talks with Josh Naylor. Let's just.
The Pirates.
Congratulations, Pittsburgh.
The Pirates were too. Yeah. They were.
Wow.
So they got the second best infield run defense. The Astros were third. I don't know that people give them as much respect, but Pena was great. Paredes was usable. So the Astros
one
were
of the
third.
Most underrated aspects of the Astros. Like
it kind of is. Yeah.
Have these successful pitchers that they generally have a good team supporting them.
It doesn't get any better. Cardinals 4, they're rebuilding. Guardians 5, they'd never spend this. Dodgers 6, I don't think that they're going to spend big money on a starter this year. Reds 7, Brewers 8, Rangers 9. Where is Framber going to sign that's a good fit? Cubs 10? Now that might be interesting because we've seen
the Cubs defense actually is, I'm surprised you have him at 10. Maybe it's because of
this is just defense fielding use. Run value from Baseball Savant for the infield by team.
I see. Okay.
But yes, I would agree. I think the Cubs defense is really good, and we know that Wrigley suppresses righty offense. Fromber to the Cubs might be really interesting. I would kind of like that.
Spend money. They're trying to do everything they can to not. They somehow got rewarded for getting rid of Shota Imanaga and then having him sign the qualifying offer, which I still can't. That whole thing blows my mind. My perception of Imanaga, I guess, is much higher than everyone else's. I think, I don't know. I'm kind of curious, actually, where that just going to segue a little bit there. With the qualifying offer being taken by Shota, I would have thought he would have had a favorable deal, but instead did that. Why did the Cubs turn down 2 years of Imanaga at like $40 million?
Where is this?
I just thought that was such an obvious get.
You do not want to hear this.
Oh no. Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh no. Really, well, this is why I ask these questions. I mean, okay. I don't know what I'm about to get, guys. This is the tension is building. As you know, something breaks to me, something about Imanaga, who's known as I'm an AGA.
But I'm looking for it. But so I looked. So if you look at Imanaga's strikeout rate.
Yeah. Right? I know it dwindled. The
5%.
The four seamer was a little bit worse in the second half.
5 percentage points from 2024 to 2025. Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And he's 32 years old.
Yeah.
So other starting pitchers over 30 that lost 5 points of strikeout rate.
Oh gosh. That just right there, I'm already hurting. You just have
Yeah. It's an awful list. Let me see.
So it's strikeout rate based on like season to season, because the way I'm seeing it is it's not like we had this long plateau of Imanaga at what was 25%, 27%, and then dropping to 20-22%, right? Like I see it as a normalization of the two more than like you were here and now you're here.
It was just easier to do like the year to year thing.
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course. And that makes a lot of sense with it.
God, I mean, wish
I'll
had
put it this way. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you talk about
it. I'll put it this way. Do you think Imanaga for 1 year on $22 million is a good deal for the Cubs?
Yeah, I'll take him on a 1 year deal. This is
absolutely.
But this is why he also took it. Was because he wasn't going to get a 3 year deal that was better.
Yeah, that's so shocking to me.
And
I guess so.
I'll just look at the year to year changes here. We'll go pitching.
So then you just saw other guys in this realm. We have Brandon Woodruff also taking the qualifying offer.
So guys over 30 that have lost this much in seasons where they both had 100 innings in both seasons, that showed up on my list. Marco Estrada, Jimmy Nelson. They had to be over 30 too.
Oh, Jimmy Nelson. That was a fun summer of Jimmy
James
Nelson adding velocity.
Paxton.
Health.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, so could he have gotten none of the guys? Mike Foltynewicz was on this list. Mike Fiers was on this list. Jordan Zimmerman was on this list.
I guess what I'm getting at is what I'm seeing is a significantly an extreme season, say for maybe Paxton, where all of a sudden they had it. Whoa, this is crazy. And then they went back down. While Imanaga, I mean, we understand based on the splitter being that fantastic strikeout pitch, the slider actually being a significant one, four seamer not as good in that second half. It just makes more sense to me that he isn't all of a sudden a worse strikeout rate pitch, but I'm belaboring this one. He's not even a free agent. I got a good quick take there.
The point was that basically none of these guys was good. again.
Yeah, I very much get that.
The best that you got was like Cole Hamels, like had like the downturn, and then
he went to the Rangers good years, and was better for a moment.
Then he was done. Yeah.
Now I do want to talk about Kyle Weiss and Cody Ponce, or Ponce. I don't know what I should be saying. And we'll talk about them after this break. All right, Eno. So we're back here. We're going to talk about Cody Ponce. Going to the Jays 3-year deal for $30 million. I mean, it seems like a very good deal for the Jays to just take a chance here. Essentially, one war a season is what you're hoping for, around 10 more. Sorry, $10 million per war. It's just generally what I do. And for a guy that just had a ton of strikeouts in the KBO, you got to think that there's something new that he's done.
Yeah, I mean, he got his velo back up to 95 miles an hour on average. Was touching 98. And this is a clear upgrade from when he was sitting 93 in Pittsburgh, in 2021. So two ticks on the fastball. He also learned a kick change, which we've talked about here. The kick change, this is funny too, because you were just referenced that idea that like very few players get this new pitch and it changes everything as much as we care about it, right? Now, the kick change was this big deal, and Hayden Birdsong was the guy who threw it. Hayden Birdsong ended the year in the minors. Sean Anderson was one of the first guys who threw it. And I don't even know where he is. I think he is in Korea. The best case scenario we have, Shane Bieber's kick change was pretty good at the end of last year, but it's a very small sample. Yep. And then the best guy throwing the kick change right now is Jameson Taillon.
Oh, that's my guy. I hope it is kind of interesting with how the Cubs are doing things. Of like, he has 2 years left of significant money. And like, are they going to, they should keep him around. I really hope they do. That's awesome. I love to hear that with Taillon. I'm thinking Shane Smith too. It's beautiful looking kick change.
Yeah. Shane Smith is a good one. And the other guy on his, he has another teammate that was throwing it, but
Ponce throwing this kick change is clearly a difference maker for him.
My source with KBO said it's 600 RPM, which is ridiculously low.
Yeah.
The video on it looks great, and he thinks it'll be something he can use against both lefties and righties.
Sure.
I don't think he has a really great breaking ball. He didn't when he was here before, but if he's 95 and the breaking ball's up to 86, 87, then maybe he can just be a guy who has a pretty good gyro, decent fastball velocity, if not the greatest shape, and a good kick change. I don't think Shane Smith is a cop because Shane Smith has the great fastball. But who was the other guy on the White Sox that throws the kick change?
I mean, Sean Burke, no.
No.
It was Shane Smith. It's the only one I'm really focused on. Oh, no, you're... Oh, yeah,
Martin. Davis Martin.
Yeah.
So, like, there could be a chance that Davis Martin is the cop, actually. Mm. Although Davis Martin sat 94. So there's a little bit more upside than Davis Martin. Davis Martin, for comparison's sake, had a 4.10 ERA and a 1.29 WHIP last year. I mean, that's absolutely a back-end starting pitcher. It may be Jose Berríos insurance at worst, because Berríos ended the season with an arm injury.
First time in ages, by the way, that Berríos has had any sort of health issue at all.
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't think I did anticipate that maybe the stuff would fall off because he didn't have great stuff to begin with.
Yeah.
But he's been such a workhorse. I do think there's a question, though, also of like if he comes back and pitches to how good he was last year, there's a chance that Ponce is just the better pitcher.
Yeah, it's very true. And it'll be something that's really fun to watch in spring training. I have to keep moving along here because we don't have much time, and we got things to go with. Kyle Weiss, very quickly, I'm going to mention that he had a 2.87 ERA last year with across about 179 innings, 250 plus strikeouts. In that time, he's going to the Astros. They don't have too much of a rotation. It's Hunter Brown and Christian Javier, hopefully Spencer Arrighetti, and then Jason Alexander, Lance McCullers Jr., Colton Gordon, AJ Blue Ball.
Even signed Nate Pearson to $1 million deal.
Right.
He's listed among the starters. I have to think he'll be a reliever for them. Mm. So Ryan Weiss has a chance of being their fifth starter. I mean, he just has to beat out Jason Alexander, basically.
Right. And it's one of those things that we just don't really know at the moment. And I would think the Astros are still in the market So see how that one goes, but there don't ignore the fact that if Ryan Weiss does get innings, it may mean actual potential value, because the easiest way to find value after pick 300, if you're at First Pitch Arizona with me, is to find the volume guys. The volume, you have to find volume. Don't chase strikeouts, chase volume. And those are the ones that have the highest chance of becoming the all-around beneficial pitcher for you. Think like Merrill Kelly of this past year. And speaking of which, he's a free agent, but Michael King and Ranger Suarez are too. And I'm just going to say right now, whoever gets Michael King is going to be happy. He's going to be at a depressed price because of health, and he just had a lost year. However, watching Michael King, I just get so excited because he is a command artist. He's one of the rare pitchers you ever find in baseball who throws front hip sinkers in 0-0-0-1 counts to opposite-handed batters. And if you have that talent, oh boy, you can become an absolute workhorse. Where do you think Michael King will go, Eno?
I think he has to go to a team that cannot, that doesn't need to count on his innings.
Okay.
So it might be a situation where you think the team already has five good starting pitchers, but they've added to it. I could see it being a pretty good fit for the Red Sox, who have who built up Peyton Tolley and Connolly early, and have Patrick Sandoval and Cutter Crawford and Kyle Harrison, all these guys. But you put Michael King ahead of that, and you probably just feel better. Maybe Cutter goes to the pen and makes your pen better. So, you know, there's, and the other guys have options, and, you know, who knows what Patrick Sandoval is at this point. So yeah, I could see that making sense. The Tigers seem to have a group of guys that like they have the innings, you know, probably. You put Michael King in and you say, hey, just be healthy in October, basically.
Sure.
I could see that making sense. I think the Blue Jays are pretty well stocked right now. Maybe they've got Braves. One. Yeah,
I think that if there's any pitcher who is available here, Zach Gallen, Bassett, Giolito, Kelly, etc., the Giants and Michael King just feel like they're just made for each other. Completely all the way through. He is a Giants guy. He is not like the quintessential flamethrower over the top. He is the, like, no, I give you value kind of arm. It's just an already done deal. In my book,
I think it's reading the tea leaves from some of the articles from Andrew Baggerly, and some of the sourcing he's got. They don't want to shop at the top. So even though I might give the bag to Imai, just because, as you've heard here in other places, I think he's kind of Joe Ryan esque, and if I could just buy Joe and Ryan for $150 million, I would. If it's 200, you know, it's not literally Joe Ryan. So I don't know. I think Imai is the guy I like the most at the top. King is the guy I like the most in the middle. And the Giants are supposedly shopping in the middle. Ooh. They're not going to be on the table for Imai, as much as Imai said he wants to take the Dodgers down. And I think the Giants are in an okay spot. Like, if you, I don't really like Trevor McDonald, but Trevor McDonald is a sinker guy that keeps the ball in the park. And I think he's a great guy to have while he has options.
Yeah,
you sort of have as a sixth guy, you bring him up, he won't embarrass you, he'll keep you in games, maybe he'll even have some really good games, but I don't think of him as necessarily a really great starter. So you, King is in there, and you have Webb, Ray, Rupp, and King, and then you kind of figure it out between the rest of the guys. And
in Rupp, hopefully we get some innings from him this year, and with Trevor McDonald, he'll forever be known as the guy that saved so many fantasy seasons. With a wonderful stream against the Rockies. And you'll see where Justin Verlander winds up as well. Maybe he can make a return in San Francisco. Who knows?
I could see Max Scherzer going there too. You know, Scherzer's old college coach is there. You give Scherzer $10 million. You give King, what do you give King? Like 3-60 or something? And
yeah, sure. 480.
Yeah.
But I mean, actually, look at this. It's 488 is the median crowd source results. There you go. I think that's such a lovely deal. I really think that Michael King, especially also when you get insurance on a lot of these contracts too, as teams, I think that kind of gets lost. The idea of the money lost or so is not, it's worse to get a player like Patrick Corbin, sorry, Patrick, who doesn't provide any value
and is still
pay
out
all of it, right? Yeah. As opposed to someone who's hurt, like Corbin Burns, that you've got insurance on, and then as an organization, you don't actually are
here's
not
a
caught with all of it.
Here's a King-esque guy I would love to get your opinion on that I had circled as somebody I might like in the middle as well. Okay.
What do
Dustin
we got?
May.
Dustin May.
They don't even have a crowdsourced number. I don't think he's going to get 88 million.
I think that he's a very... So my whole thing on Dustin May is I feel that he wasn't utilized correctly. However, I am getting a sense that Dustin May does not have the ability to command as well as he needs to. And I mean, command inside the zone. There were some games he was able to split out the sinker and the sweeper. However, a lot of them, it was just, here's a sinker, here's a sweeper. And if he can't become that sinker sweeper guy that can actually separate, I mean, pretty much all of them do the Moses of parting the Red Sea between the two as right-handers. They know that they have to do that. May hasn't. With a reduction in velocity, you would hope that you would see more of it, and you didn't. And I didn't see enough growth in the cutter this past year. We did see some of it, and that's cool, but it's just the whole thing isn't quite coming together. And I think that's less of the organizations involved, but more of the possibilities of the player. So I'd be a little hesitant of that, but it depends on what kind of deal you're getting. And I was going to ask you actually, which is your favorite discount deal of the lot, the guy that you think might be undervalued. And I would actually throw Michael Soroka in that bucket because save for health, Michael Soroka was doing really well. Like he to get traded in the first place was because he was doing better than expected. Good pitch separation, really good curveball. I think Michael Soroka is a story of someone who has not been able to just get his feet settled in one place and just execute for a long amount of time. And you give him like, all right, I'm going to give one full year Michael Soroka. Let's just see how this goes. Give him that kind of deal in Pittsburgh or wherever the Reds need. It doesn't matter. Someplace to let him pitch. I think actually Soroka can be very effective.
Yeah, it's a really weird pitch mix. I mean, that breaking ball that looks, I think, better on video than it actually is. I don't know. It's an 80 mile an hour slurve thing.
Yeah, it's I hate the word slurve, but I get it, but I hate it because it's just a curveball at a lower angle. You know, it's the same grip, just you tilt it down at 45 degrees, right?
It just doesn't have much unexpected movement. I mean,
sure. The thing is, it works very well. And it really, Soroka, even back in when he was 21, so I guess 7 years ago, geez, debuting for Atlanta, he impressed me so much because he just had all these
different
tools and he knew how to use them, you know?
Yeah. The changeup was so good. But he's also changed his arm angle since then, hasn't he?
Yeah. I just think that is the kind of innate ability I trust in, right? To have that kind of skill set and that command early on. Like, I don't think that just goes away. You know, that's kind of why I would take that chance.
I could see it. I mean, whatever the stuff numbers said, the slurve had a 245 slugging last year and a 204 expected slugging. I wonder if he's a reliever, but one of my other possible guys, I do like Dustin May a little bit more than you, I think, because he dropped his arm angle a bunch, and I think this might be the healthy arm angle for him. So I think that this might be a new level of health for him. And so if I signed him, and they don't even have a crowdsourced number for him, so like if I could sign him for 1 year and $5 million and get 120 innings of a sinker slider guy,
that makes sense. Absolutely.
Carved up righty lineups and like sometimes struggled against lefty lineups. Like I could deal with that. But
other names Walker
Buehler as a reliever. You know, if I thought this guy I'm going to sign might end up be relieving and I had a choice between Soroka and Buehler, I might take Buehler. I would love to sit Buehler down and be like, I think your career as a starter is over. Three teams have now given you the chance to start and it hasn't worked and there's not really great peripherals. You had like a 6 K-BB last year, but could you get to 97? Could you sit 97?
Right.
I would love, and I think Walker Buehler might embrace that challenge and say, you know, the deals that are being offered to me right now are not very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I between the two, if they're going to end up that way, then I think I might take Buehler, but May is my cheapo option, I think.
Cheapo. Well, I'm so sorry, Dustin, if you're listening to that. You're not a cheapo. But I want to get the rapid fire with Eno of predictions of a lot of these guys, which I'd be amazed if you got any of them right, especially in rapid fire. And we're going to do that after this break. All right, Eno, here we go. Just one prediction. I'm just going to go straight down the line based on the median total. We're going to go from highest median total to lowest. Framber Valdez, where is he going?
He is going to the Cubs.
All right. He's going to the Rangers. Okay. Ranger Suarez. I'm just saying
he is going to the Cubs. No. I mean, he's got the same, same kind of case.
Saying the Cubs over and over again.
No, you kind of got the same case. I'm going to go with Braves. Braves.
Oh, yeah. I like that one too much. Good. Michael Kim, we already said he's going to go to the Giants. Imai, where is he going? I do want to mention, Imai, one of the greatest quotes. I don't want to play for the Dodgers. I want to beat them. I want every single player on my team to have that mentality. That's the mentality of champions. You know, they want to be challenged the most as opposed to have the most content life. Oh, yes.
I've got
the Mets. He's going to the Mets.
Yes.
Didn't he want to go to a team that doesn't have a Japanese player? Singa?
I guess. Yeah.
Maybe I'm not.
Red Sox. I think top of the market. So Red Sox.
Honestly, Mets, that would be, I would love that. They need something.
Yeah, they definitely need. They might sign two guys.
Zach Gallen, where is he going?
Reclamation situation, 1 year deal to the Rays.
Ooh, I'm going 2 years to the Yankees. Chris Bassett.
Extra piece for a contender that just needs innings on the back end. Giants.
It is the most Brewers deal I've ever seen in my life.
Ooh.
Lucas Giolito.
He wants to be coached by good coaches. Maybe it's a cheap team. Oh, what is that going to be?
Right?
Tigers.
I could see a pretty cheap deal to the Cardinals. But then again, the Cardinals are more like your Toby types. That's Merrill Kelly. That's clearly where Merrill Kelly
Padres. Oh, Padres. Oh,
yeah.
Padres. They're trying to, they need to be cheap. They need some innings. Yeah. Padres.
Love it. Tyler Mahle.
Tyler Mahle to a team that values command. Tyler Mahle to the Orioles.
Oh, that was my pick. I was like, it's such an Orioles thing. Of like,
it really kind
he
of
got Tyler Mahle.
Yeah.
I can't, guys, if you don't remember, a year ago, Pitcher List put out an article written by Ben Palmer, fantastic piece.
Oh, yes.
That we have a very legitimate source, and we vetted it a lot, that Elias was not spending money, even though he had a green light from the owner, because he fantasized being like the Rays.
Yeah.
And everyone yelled at us. We're like, no, watch them go sign Corbin Burns. What did they do last year, guys? What did they do? And what have they done thus far?
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh, they got Ryan Helsley. Great. Okay.
I could suppose that they could sign Michael King too.
They could. Yep. Yeah, I mean, that would make sense, especially after Grayson, we're done.
Health and command. And Tyler and King both don't really have that.
Hmm. But yeah, Tyler Mahle is such a, I feel like he's already there kind of thing. it's not because there's another Tyler there that I am confusing him with. We have Taylor Wells. Tyler Wells? Tyler Wells. It is Tyler Wells. Zach Littell. Where's he going?
Oh, God.
Yeah, right?
Reds.
Yeah, he's going to stay back with the Reds. Cool. And speaking of the Reds, we have Nick Martinez.
He's going to go to somebody who wants him more in the bullpen, but could use some stretching. I guess you could see Nick Martinez to the Brewers.
Angels.
just take the money.
Yeah, just whatever. Justin Verlander.
Oh, it has to be a contender or he's not coming back.
Right.
Red Sox?
Phillies?
Phillies number five. Phillies number five.
I can't see him as a Philly. I don't think like the Phillies want that. You know? I'm gonna say six with the Giants.
All right.
I hate it. Zach Eflin, is he pitching, first of all?
You had back surgery?
Yeah, wasn't he supposed to retire?
What?
Well, I remember like we thought he was gonna retire after the Rays. And then maybe I'm thinking of Charlie Morton.
Lumbar microdiscectomy. That's not too bad.
Maybe I'm thinking of Charlie Morton here.
Yeah, I think you're Morton.
He's
got a pitch. He's gonna pitch with somebody who values command over stuff.
Okay. So Royals.
Yeah, why not? Royals. Maybe that's what they do. They trade a cost control guy and they sign Eflin.
There you go. I mean, like, look, it's Lugo and Waka was their double pack 2 years ago.
He really fits in there.
We talked about Scherzer already. There's a guy named Jordan Montgomery who exists. That seems like the most Dodgers Angels. Reclamation project.
Oh, Dodgers, maybe? Yeah, I can see the Angels, like, too.
Okay,
I
mean,
the Angels
got enough of those stars up there. We're just now going to get all of the older things. They do that, too, right? Like the Tyler Anderson deal.
Yeah, but the Angels got Grayson Rodriguez and who was the portly right-hander with the good curveball? Alek Manoah.
Oh, my God.
Who, by the way, was sitting 92 in the minors? So I don't.
Oh no,
I'm not circling that.
Okay, I went to like Sidney Ponson in my head. I'll be honest with you. Oh God, yeah, Alek Manoah. A lot of ways to describe it. I don't know if the first one would be portly, but I'm with you. That's not going to actually pan out, though.
No. I don't think so. He was sitting 92. I don't know. He's just also never been the same since sticky stuff enforcement. So
sure. Michael Lorenzen.
Oh,
whose dream is he going to crush?
Rangers. Back to the Rangers. He wasn't the Rangers.
Jacob Latz is the answer.
Yeah. I love Lorenzen, dude, as a person. Dude, yeah, that's still
Marlins. I'm saying he's a Marlins guy.
Oh yeah, the Marlins are in on pitchers, supposedly.
Aaron Civale.
Oh gosh, Mets.
I'm just gonna say he's my backup Yankee. It just seems like the kind of guy that
extra pitcher for like a good team.
Yeah, like the Carrasco deal, but better.
Yeah.
Stroman exists.
He might be done, dude. He was out there, like for much of the season last year, available, right?
Did the Yankees DFA him? They might have. Or is that or he was hurt? I can't remember. Chris Paddock,
they released him on August 1st and nobody picked him up.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. Chris Paddock.
Chris Paddock. Back to the Padres.
I can see that being a Cardinals deal.
The Nationals are going to get somebody.
Nah.
No,
because they got Jason Markey. I'm so sorry. that is actually a good fit for like Chris Paddock. It could also be for Jose Quintana, who's the next one here.
But I like Paddock a little bit more for the Nationals because you could maybe one in an option. Maybe you trade him. You need somebody to pitch. You know, you think he's like, for whatever reason, you think you can finally figure out the curveball for him or whatever.
Yeah. Well, Adrian Hauser is made for the Nationals. Adrian Hauser
just
at the
like replacement level starting pitcher. Just
his whole thing last year, Adrian Hauser, he showed up in camp for the Rangers as a NRI. And so it's found money. I see NRIs as found money. If this is good enough, you go with him instead of going into the well right out of the gate. Right. But the Rangers said, no, even though you're throwing harder, we're not going to do this. And it took about a month for then the White Sox to pick him up and he was doing great. And then they traded him to the Rays. and he was doing great as a serviceable 5 to 6 inning guy. Like, it's, I think Adrian Hauser is my favorite discount you need innings guy here. So whoever gets him will be happy to have him. Could just be back to the Rays, honestly.
Who, there's another guy, Drew Anderson, who's pitching in KBO. That's not really on a lot of radars. And my source, has him as, he says he can be a serviceable ML reliever if the stuff ticks up to 95, 97 out of the pen. He's more 93 ish, as a starter. And he and Cody Ponce were dueling for the strikeout record in KBO. So he has on and off command. The reports aren't as positive. So I could see it being sort of a Raysian type play, right?
Sure.
Or Brewers. They've both kind of dabbled in the KBO market.
Now, when you hear on and off command, it's really two things. Either one, they're like a massive flamethrower, or they throw a splitter. So I'm going to guess that Drew Anderson throws a splitter.
Yeah, because it's 93 is not a flamethrower.
And also telling me that the strikeout rate was super high.
Yeah.
It just speaks to, oh, that's a splitter. you can't get it past me. All right. We have only a couple more here. There's Foster Griffin, too, from the MPB.
I think he was hitting 90 in Japan.
Oof.
I don't know that he's coming over.
Okay.
Is there anybody that's about the potential sort of injured that might surprise John Means?
Oh, yeah. He means business. I would love to see him as a swatch, right? Southpaw with a tight changeup. I don't know where. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of these guys really at the
invite
end.
Him to camp.
Miles Michaelis, Germán Márquez. Honestly, Germán Márquez, I'm so stoked for to be outside of Colorado and just see what happens. Nationals, Germán Márquez, easy, done.
I also think the Padres are going to be a player for multiple starting pitchers where I think, like, if you will accept, like, just a camp invite or, you know, that sort of deal or a minor league deal or something, then they will be all over you because, I mean, right now, Randy Vasquez is their number two.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I guess Joe Musgrove, but, like, you know, Joe Musgrove, yeah. Nick Pivetta, Randy Vasquez is their three, Sears is their four, Waldron is their five.
All right. They're gonna... You got to get Zach Gallen over there then.
And maybe John Means, like anybody who's like, I don't know if I can get a guaranteed deal will gravitate towards the Padres because it'll just be screaming opportunity on a contender.
Right. Right. Wow. That's a
if
really,
they are a
really
contender. I mean, that's a terrible rotation.
Oh my gosh. Well, that's going to end it today. You know, I'm excited to see you in the winter meetings next week. Have a wonderful time. And if you had to say one that you are most sure of, which one is it?
What's that?
Which where someone's going?
Oh, none of them. Oh, how about this? A lefty to the Cubs.
A lefty to the Cubs. All right.
A lefty starting pitcher to the Cubs.
I'm now going to say it's Zach Gallen to the Padres. You just completely convinced me. He's exactly the kind of guy that they would do.
That might be true.
100%. But all right, that is going to do for today. You know, I can't thank you enough for coming on today. What a wonderful guest you have been. My name is Nick Pollock, and we'll talk about the craft of pitching again next week.